for Project Spurs. I'm Paul Garcia, and this is the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be discussing the Spurs' starting lineup to begin the season, more Wemby observations, points Sochan, and the Spurs waving Kem Birch. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. So I know it has been 1 week since I recorded a Spurs Cast with Colin Reed. At that time, the Spurs had only played the Oklahoma City Thunder in one preseason game, so there has been three preseason games since that point. And so I'm going to go ahead and do a quick recap of the last three preseason games. Then I'll go into some larger topics, discuss those a little bit later in more detail. So first, let's do a quick recap of the Spurs' last three preseason games since the last Spurs Cast. So I am recording this episode on Thursday evening. So let's go back to last Friday. The Spurs were hosting the Miami Heat in San Antonio. The Spurs won this game by 16 points. There was no Keldon Johnson, no Zach Collins, or no Doug McDermott. They were all out for this game. This was the game where Jeremy Sochan was introduced as the Spurs' new starting point guard. So everybody's been calling him Point Sochan. So that's how I'm going to be referring to him as well. One interesting note from this game was Wemby started at the four like he did versus the Thunder. However, it was also one of our first times seeing him play the five against some of the Heat bench players there. So he got some possessions in that game against the Heat at the five. We do want to note that Miami did sit most of their core players out. They had multiple players out. Just to recap how Wemby did on this night, and I'll go into more detail a little bit later in the episode. He finishes with 23 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 4 turnovers. Devin Vassell had a great night as well, 21 points. He made 6 threes in this game. Then we flip to Monday a few days later, and the Spurs are still at home, and this time they're hosting the Houston Rockets in one of two games. So the Rockets won this game by 10. There was no Victor Wembanyama, no Devin Vassell, or no Trey Jones. Those all three players sat out of this game. Keldon Johnson did return, though, for his first preseason action, and he did start. Zach Collins had a really good night for San Antonio, finishing with 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. Now let's go to the most recent game, which was on Wednesday, where the Spurs played the Rockets once more. They defeated Houston by 14 points in San Antonio, but now the Rockets sat some players. They sat Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, and Jalen Green. The Spurs had all of their players available. The Spurs introduced their new starting lineup, which I'll get into here in a second. In this game, Devin Vassell had a great night with 25 points by halftime. He finishes as his leading scorer with 25 points on 5 made threes. Wemby finishes with 15 points and I think 6 rebounds. He did have a little bit of a tougher night shooting the ball, and I'll talk about that here in a bit as well and during my observations. So let's get to our first topic, which is the question we've been kind of talking. If you've been listening to the Spurs Cast episodes or watching the YouTube videos, you know that either myself or whoever I have on as a guest, like Colin Reed, we've just gone numerous weeks and months kind of talking about, you know, what starting lineup are the Spurs going to have? Are they going to go more traditional with Trey Jones at the point? Are they going to bring Jeremy Sochan off the bench? Those kind of questions have been lingering. Actually, if you go back to a Spurs Cast episode recorded way back on July 20th, I actually discussed this lineup that the Spurs are now actually going to start. So the Spurs are going with what we would call their big lineup. So what does that mean? They are going to start Jeremy Sochan, who's 6'8 at the point, Devin Vassell, who is 6'5 at the shooting guard position, Keldon Johnson, 6'5, also at the small forward position. Basically, they're both the wings. Wemby, of course, at the four, who is 7'3 on the training camp roster, but we know that out on the court, he looks like 7'4, 7'5 with shoes on. And then Zach Collins at the five at 6'11. So that is called the Spurs' big lineup. And the reason why I'm saying big lineup is because that's kind of what Pop's about to say here. So this is a quote from Pop after the game coming from Tom Orsborn of the San Antonio Express News. This is Pop. He said, "They better play well or we are in trouble. Those are the big guys. They are tall. They're big. They are going to start." So Pop's basically saying here, this is the starting lineup. This is the Spurs' best chance to try to be successful, to make sure that this unit has some success together. And so one thing we just want to note is that we've only seen a very small sample size of this lineup. They only played in three quarters on Wednesday against the Rockets. And even those weren't like, you know, a lot of minutes for them. They've never, you know, really been on the court altogether. We know that Keldon was out for most of the time. And then if not, Wemby was out for a game, Zach Collins was out for a game, Vassell. So now we've only seen basically three quarters of them being together. So we do have to, you know, caution that it's going to take some time to see what this group looks like. I will note that I'm recording this, like I said, on Thursday evening. So I haven't had time to kind of like digest the tape and kind of dig in. I'm just kind of just giving my initial observations of what I wrote down on my notebook during the game. So just initial observations, again, without really studying film here, was defensively, they look pretty good. They look like, you know, they really made shots tough in the half court for the Rockets. They really couldn't execute their offense. They had a tough time again, we want to note that some of the Rockets' key playmakers are out. Jalen Green's out. Fred VanVleet's out. So that's also something, too. Houston didn't have their best offensive creators out on the floor. But again, this unit looked pretty good. A lot of size, a lot of length out there. They can switch almost every pick and roll or dribble handoff. There's not really going to be a huge weakness out there with this group. So that's one thing, is that versatility on defense. They can play that stifling defense, especially in the half court. So again, just starting this unit should point to some signs that this is going to definitely be a better defensive squad this year, not especially not finish dead last like they did last year at 30th. So those are just some initial thoughts on defense. Initially on offense, it's hard to get a good reading on them because, you know, they start off very well out of the gate, where Devin Vassell got hot really quickly. He had like a 9-0 run by himself. They were up, I think, like 17-1 or something. So it was kind of something you don't usually expect is just a team to come out like right on fire. And so they kind of did that. But then as things kind of settled down in the game, the offense did look a little stagnant at times, kind of clunky, where players almost were running sets where they didn't kind of quite know where they were supposed to go. Or like there was a lot of possessions where like it was like Devin trying to get a pick and roll or Kelvin's trying to get a pick and roll. And then Wemby's like out on the wing asking for the ball and they were not passing to him. So there's going to be some chemistry issues, obviously, because these, like I said, they've only played 3/4 of a game so far. So I think you got to definitely give them some time to see how this works. So my question is, how much time is Pop looking at, you know, just a 15 game, 20 game sample size? Is he looking like all the way to like till Christmas time to late December before January? You know, that's a good question. Is how long is the coaching staff going to allow them, the Spurs, to have this starting unit and see how they progress? And so I think that's one thing to caution, is that, you know, they're going to have to be very patient, because like I said, it was just their first time out there on the court in terms of what we got to see publicly, because we don't know if they've been using this lineup in their close practices and things like that. And so now that we know who the starters are, what does the bench lineup look like? According to what the lineups that Pop threw out there on Wednesday, the players he had out there, he had Trey Jones, of course, come off as the backup point guard. He had Malachi Branham come off the bench as the two. He had Doug McDermott there at the three, and then Charles Bassey at the five. And one thing Pop did in this first game against Houston was he took out Victor very early in the first quarter, and then he brought him back with later, like around 3-4 minutes left. And he let Wembanyama get some minutes with that second unit. So that's something interesting to watch, was that Pop wanted to see how Wemby got some more minutes with that second unit. Cause you know, there's less creation on that lineup. Wemby's going to get a lot more shots with that group. Whereas in the starting unit, he's got Vassell there, who could get, like I said, he can catch on fire. You have Keldon Johnson, who's a creator. Zach Collins had some good post-ups as well against Houston. So that was interesting to see if Pop maybe wants to get Wemby more possessions, you know, to maybe have him out there with that second group for a few possessions. Then in the second quarter, Jetty Osman got some minutes as well. So we noticed that, you know, Pop's sticking with this 10-man rotation of the starters, and then Jones, Branham, Doug, Jetty, and Bassey. So it looks like those are the 10 players that are going to be in the initial starting lineup. I mean, the initial 10-man rotation to begin the season. So again, my questions just continue to be, how long are the Spurs giving this unit to figure things out? You know, that's just my interesting question going forward. So again, it's going to take some time, but I wouldn't expect them to have this. It's going to look, you know, like I said, there's going to be times where it looks really stagnant on offense. Maybe players the sets don't look so good, but again, I really want to see what the data looks like after like 15, 20 games to see where they're ranking on offense and defense. I think defensively they will be a really good improvement here with that group. Next topic, let's just talk about some more Wemby observations and versatility. So what I want to note is that these observations are coming mainly from the Heat game. You know, again, I'm going to make some notes about the Rockets game, but again, I had more time to digest the Heat film and kind of just like look through it in detail on both offense and defense for him. So here's some of my takeaways. Let's first talk about rim deterrence. So as you've seen, if you've been watching these games, you know, he's able to deter shots at the rim, where now it looks like, especially in that Heat game, where it looks like players, as they're about to release the ball, they're almost like kind of like trying to move their shot, either change the arc or the angle, or kind of just moving the position of their shot release just to try to avoid his length. And so he showed in a few possessions where like he ends up being the only player down there near the rim. And so he's able to like cover two players on one possession and try to get a stop, or at least make it a tough shot. So we're already seeing that rim deterrence from Wemby. And especially since he's not just playing out of the wing like we initially saw, he's getting minutes as a five at sometimes in those second and with Sohan at the four, as we saw in a few of those lineups against the Heat and against the Rockets. Finishing. So let's see how Victor finished. Finishing versus the Heat. If you watch that game, there was a lot of highlight plays for Wemby. He had that monster dunk off the Euro step in the open court. He's just like a monster in the open court. You get him one-on-one against someone, he's going to finish almost every time, is what it looks like. He had that one where he catches the ball in the open court, off the pass, and it's he was only like 1 foot inside the 3-point line. He just uses like 2 steps and he dunks it with a Euro step. He had that play where Trey Jones sets the pick and roll for him, then he gives it back to Trey Jones. Wemby's like basically his foot still at the 3-point line. He calls for the ball, like throw it up there. Trey Jones throws the ball and he's like still gets in the paint and still dunks it outside the restricted area, dunks it with two hands for the alley-oop. That was against the Heat. He also had that one play where one of the Spurs players gives him like the ball and he has like he just uses a quick little like post against Thomas Bryant and then with his left hand just like jams it on Thomas Bryant and he was outside the restricted area when he did that. He had all that length and Bryant, of course, there's that clip that went viral where Bryant's like looking like, what do I do against this guy? So obviously, you saw some of those highlight plays. Just his finishing is incredible. They're underneath the rim. There was also one play. Like I mentioned earlier, he had a tougher night shooting against the Rockets, which I'll get into here in the next segment. But there was a play where the Spurs' coaching staff, it looked like out of a timeout, they drew up like a half court set where they basically set like a screen for him and he did a backdoor cut and he got it. And again, he looked like he was outside the restricted area. He still just with his right hand, just mashed that ball in and finished with a dunk. Now let's talk about his shooting, Wemby's shooting. So versus the Heat, he had a really good shooting night. Like I said, 10 to 15 from the floor. In the half court, he showed more mid-range pull-ups in that game, as well as continuing to run off screen action and finish making shots. He showed a lot more of his ability to create by dribbling to the side and then shooting that jumper. Also, he showed his step backs. So there was a play where he kind of like posted his defender and then near the restricted area, the non-restricted area, should I say, he kind of did a fadeaway and made a mid-range jumper fadeaway. Then against the Rockets, as you saw the numbers there, he shot 3 of 10 overall for the night. This one he struggled a little bit more. So what we noticed was that he would kind of catch it outside the mid range, but at the post position, and he kind of just do that quick face up and then take the contested mid ranger. And then just listening to Ime Udoka's comments after the game, he basically said that he liked trying to get his get the Rockets defenders to basically take away Victor's space as much as possible, especially by having smaller wings. He said he wanted them to be more physical with him and not let him get his space in the post. So he was basically trying to get him to avoid that space for Wemby. That way Wemby couldn't, quite create with his length and his size. And so he liked what he saw Ime out of the defenders against Wemby on this night. However, I will note though that Wemby, the Rockets really couldn't contain Wemby early on, where he went to the free throw line multiple times. He had seven made free throws already in the first half, and then in the second half he did a little bit better shooting the ball. He had a pick and pop made three and a spot up three. And so I guess that's just more of like, they're like the Spurs have said, they're going to kind of just be a little more hands off right now in terms of kind of seeing where he's more comfortable out on the floor. And so as time goes on, I think they'll start to work with him on which shots to take and maybe which ones to kind of hold onto the ball and try to maybe move the ball or else try to do something a little bit differently instead of taking some of those contested face-up ones that he struggled on against the Rockets. And again, we'll see what happens with different defenses and how they game plan for him. But like I said, he had a really good shooting night against the Heat, and then he had a struggling night shooting the ball against the Rockets. Ball handling, Wemby showed this as well in these last two in those two games that he played. He showed his ability to run more pick and roll possessions. There was times when Jetty Osmond setting the screen for him. There was two times where once in the Heat game and then once in the game against the Rockets where it was Trey Jones setting screens for Wemby. So that just shows you his versatility, that he can basically be the lead ball handler when you have Trey Jones the one setting screens for him. And then, of course, he had another viral play on Wednesday evening where he gets a steal in the open court. Reggie Bullock comes to try to stop him, and nope, he puts the ball through his legs like Manu Ginobili would do, and he gets it on the other side, and then he ends up going down the court. So again, you're basically guaranteed like almost one to like three highlight plays from Wemby a night is what you're seeing here very early on in just these few preseason games. And then passing wise, again, he's still finding his teammates in that game where Vassell really went off with that 21 points, where he made six made threes. A lot of those threes were off Wemby passes, so he's drawing the attention of the defense of the defense, and then he's able to kick it out to especially Vassell, who's going to be like that main three-point shooter that starting lineup needs. And so he's showing, of course, his passing versatility again. So just three preseason games that he's played in so far, he's just been he's shown some really spectacular signs here on both ends of the floor. And like I mentioned, this is something we mentioned on the Spurscast. It's not always going to be where he's going to make, 10 to 15 shots a night. There's going to be some struggles at times. And so we'll just see how he adjusts and how it goes going forward. Next, let's talk about Point Sochan. So like I said, Jeremy Sochan has only played in three games as a starting point guard for the Spurs here in the preseason. Here are just his initial stats. And again, it's small sample size. It's also preseason. So let's just keep those things in mind. 9.6 points, 4.7 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 1.3 turnovers, two fouls, and two steals. So let's really focus on those some of the numbers here, which is a 9.6 points and 2.3 assists to 1.3 turnovers. So again, because this is going to be a big responsibility for Sohan being the new point guard for the team. So again, just some of my initial observations of what I've seen. I haven't really got a lot of time to digest into that Houston data from last night or the game film. So he's showing that he can bring the ball up the floor. You know, they give him the ball, he gets a defensive rebound, he pushes up the floor, and he gets them into their initial sets. Whereas like if a wing like Kelder or Vassell's coming to get the ball and then start like a DHO, a dribble handoff, they can come up and get the ball. The bigs can also come up and get that initial pass and then wait and look and see if people are cutting underneath. So he's able to do those kind of actions. Pretty easy. There's not really too much difficulty. He's also learning to naturally react to being a point guard. That was one of the things that Devin Vassell mentioned, was that in that first game against the Heat, when Sohan first got that starting role, there was a few plays where like the team would score and then it's time to inbounds and Sohan's heading out to the other side of the court and Vassell had to basically tell him, no, you're the point guard. Like, you got to go get the ball. So there's going to be like that transition of just having that familiarity of naturally saying, okay, I got to go get the ball for the next possession. So those are things that they're going to work on with him, that he's going to need more game reps, I think, to figure out. And Sohan himself and his teammates are all admitting that, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. This is not going to be something that's going to go perfect. Here was his quote just the other night against, it was that second game, the first game against the Rockets. He said this: there's ups and downs. It's a process. And, you know, this goes back to media day. I was in San Antonio for media day. And one of the questions he got was, you know, what if the Spurs put the ball in your hands a lot more? Are you prepared for that? And he said, yes. Like, he said he was willing to take on that challenge. This is before this happened. And he basically said, it's not always going to be pretty. There's going to be some ups and downs. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take time. And so I think that's the one thing that we have to really focus on here, is that it's going to take some time for him. There's going to be some good and bad nights. And again, I'm just eager again to that question of how long does the coaching staff allow him to, you know, how many games is it, you know, how many months is it, those kind of questions. What I've seen defensively is he's guarding most of the point guards in these lineups a lot of times, but like I said, the Spurs do switch a lot now on the pick and rolls or the dribble handoffs. And so he can't switch in those pick and rolls and dribble handoffs because obviously he has a size there at 6'8". But if the guards get like a little bit of space, they are able to drive downhill, is what it looks like early on. He's also, when Trey Jones enters the game and Jeremy can go back to being just his natural position of like the power forward position. So he can be a four, and then Wemby can be like the five. So he's able to slot back and forth between different positions, depending on who is out there on the floor with him. Offensively, what I noticed is that he's having a little bit of trouble getting to the rim off his own speed or even just using one screen. So a lot of times if he's like trying to go downhill, the defenders are still there with him. And so he's having to put up some contested, like non-restricted type of shots. Just some last observations. Like I said, Jones comes off as the backup point guard in this situation. And then for Blake Wesley, what this means is with Sohan and Jones getting all the minutes, it looks like Wesley's going to end up being that third rotation point guard again this season. And so, you know, we'll see exactly, you know, are the Spurs just going to let him sit there, or are they going to send him to Austin as the season begins? You know, those kind of questions will obviously trickle down now toward Blake Wesley and where his minutes come from now that Sohan and Jones are going to man the point guard position. So like I said, overall, just with Sohan being the point guard, just again, it's going to take some time. I'm really just more so eager to see what the data looks like 10, 15 games from now and see where the numbers lie in their lineup numbers and those kind of things. So again, we'll kind of see how it goes. You know, it'll be like an experiment to see how this whole new starting five goes with Sohan here at the point. Okay, so now for our last topic, the Spurs have answered one of the final questions in the roster is, who's going to be that last player that gets waived? And this is a player that we've discussed multiple times on the Spurs cast that we expected to get waived, and that is Ken Birch. The Spurs officially waived him on Thursday. Like I said, not too much of a surprise. He really hasn't played much in a Spurs uniform. He only played in one preseason game so far since he's arrived. Now, we do want to comment that he was injured when he first arrived in San Antonio last year. So, but overall, he had never really been in the rotation. Like I said, he had only dressed out in one game. And so Birch is officially waived. So that means that regarding their guarantee contracts, the Spurs are now set. There's no need to like trade or waive anybody else on a guarantee contract. They can have 15 players on the roster. What it does mean, though, is that if they want to sign someone else or try to trade for someone else, then someone needs to either get moved into trade or waived before they can add another player on a guaranteed deal. So they also have two players on non-guaranteed deals in Serge Ibaka. I mean, and not a non-guaranteed, two players on two-way contracts in Serge Ibaka Rice and Dominic Barlow. That means that they have one open two-way roster spot. And so the final question for the roster is, what happens with Charles Bediako? Currently, he's on the team with a training camp contract, but they need to decide by Saturday what's going to happen with Bediako. Will they waive him, and then he has a chance to just sign a G League contract later on with Austin? Or will they actually give him that 2A roster spot? I think we've only seen him play in one preseason game, but you know, obviously they've kept him on the roster for this whole training camp. So maybe they do have the intentions of giving him that final 2A spot. We'll find out that answer for Bediako here in the next 2 days before Saturday rolls around. So I know there's a lot of information. You know, SpursCast is coming out weekly again. So now that the season begins next week, I'll have one more episode either before the season starts, or if not, maybe after, right after we see how they did against Dallas. So we'll see. We'll figure it out scheduling wise for next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the SpursCast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. Music for this episode was written by Paul Garcia and Vincent Garcia. Project Spurs, I'm Paul Garcia. Have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.